It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You heard in the update, Tigers win again, 3 of 4 out of the break. We're 1 week away from the deadline. 9-18. What now? Is there a case to keep Flaherty if they keep winning? How close do they have to get for that to be a real possibility? We'll get to it this hour. We've got Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore joining us at 9:35. Get some of his thoughts as he takes over the program with, listen, expectations. You're the reigning national champs, but you're replacing a lot of dudes. Be good to get his perspective on stuff. Michigan picked 4th in the preseason Big Ten. John, 4th. Is that expected? How do you feel about that? Is that right about where you think they'll be?
Yeah, I mean, that's when you lose your quarterback, you lose receivers, you lose offensive line, you lose your running back. Defense, they've got a lot of talent coming back. They lost talent there as well, but there's more coming back with experience. I think it's right where I would expect most publications, talking heads, we would probably put them somewhere 3, 4, 5. I think 5 is probably too low.
But I think there's a big 4 in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, and obviously it's Ohio State, it's Oregon, it's Penn State, it's Michigan. And how does Sherrone Moore and this offense develop an offensive line? Put 5 guys out there that can perform, you know, similar to what we've seen over the last few years. What do they do with the wide receivers? Who's going to be the guys that step up to make those big plays? Roman Wilson, great production last year, not just in terms of total yards, but obviously getting into the end zone, made some spectacular catches. But the big question is going to, and the biggest question is, what are you doing at the quarterback position? Are you going to go with a guy like Alex Orgie, who gives you so much opportunity in both the run game as a runner himself, add in that extra blocker, and it keeps defenses on their toes? What does he do in terms of being able to throw the ball? Davis Warren, when he's out there, what does he provide this team? How has he developed since he's been here? Jack Tuttle got his 7th year. He's been a guy that is in a backup to, Michael Penix when he was at Indiana. Michael Penix is a first-round pick. He's a backup to J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy's a first-round pick. So he's never really had that opportunity to shine, and he's got some great experience. And he talked about – I mentioned it last year when I had him on the podcast – he wanted to come here. One, he wanted a chance to compete. He's also a very cerebral quarterback. He wants to further his career as a coach at some point when his playing days are over. So he's a guy that you could see, early on with week 2 of Texas, maybe you go with more of a veteran presence under center.
See, I wonder, though, I think they're going to be a team that has to run the ball, avoid turnovers, play defense, lean on their defense this season, lean on the weakest teams. They're just going to run over a Fresno State, an Arkansas State. They'll beat up on a soft USC or a Minnesota. The question will be when you play Texas, when you play Oregon, when you play Ohio State, and late in the season, you got to get that group to coalesce. I thought it was interesting that Campbell said the identity is something that he wants to establish, because the reality is they don't have an offensive identity right now, and a lot of that will depend on who's the guy under center. If it's Orgie, you can run with the extra blocker in the run game and use him as the run threat that maybe people were begging to see JJ be, because maybe Orgie isn't the downfield passer and they don't have the proven receivers. I think it's going to be him. Now, the only question will be, did they do themselves a disservice by not going to the portal? Because the other teams around the country, you can look at your preseason top 10, all of them, unless I'm missing somebody, either bring back a quarterback who's been in the game with live bullets flying, or went to the portal to get a guy who also has the live reps. And it's the top 2 teams in the Big Ten. It's Oregon, it's Ohio State. They both said, we need to go get someone. We're going to go get a guy. Penn State brings back Drew Aller. Michigan has the unknown. And I think that's part of why they're 4th in this game. I mean, not that anybody believes in Penn State, but the schedule's soft. They bring back a quarterback. They brought in an OC to provide a little bit of sizzle. They were boring last year offensively. Michigan's 4th because of all the loss, because they didn't hit the portal with the quarterback, because of the unknown, because of the schedule.
Well, but the fun thing is, without that identity going into camp, with a new offensive line, new quarterback, fresh receivers, you have a blank canvas, and you can paint that picture however you want. And if, Davis Warren, if he's your quarterback, you got yourself a strong arm. Jack Tuttle, you've got some experience. Alex Orji provides you that run game along with, you know, the question of you know, how well can he throw the ball. And I think it's really going to come down to trying to figure out how much do we trust Kirk Campbell, how much do we trust Sherrone Moore, that maybe they knew what they had in this quarterback competition, that they didn't need to go to the portal and bring somebody else in to take those starting reps. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Well, I was just saying, you know what it sounds a little like? We don't want to block them. And I hope it's not a Tiger situation.
But my point is, no one knows this group of competing quarterbacks better than the staff that's there. And we're left with, okay, well, if you're not going to bring somebody in that has starting experience,
be
because
right.
We saw it at Ohio State, we've seen it at Oregon, you see it all around college football, you're right, you better be right. And that's how you start to build that trust. You got some signature win opportunities for Sherrone Moore, but the biggest, you know, signature going into this season is they didn't go to the portal, they didn't get a quarterback, so are you going to be able to develop? Do you trust your evaluation enough that you didn't have to go to the portal?
So let me ask you this. If they finish fourth, what does it say? Does it say they were wrong about the quarterback position? Does it say
They finished that way doesn't necessarily mean. I mean, it could be you could have a quality starting quarterback, but your offensive line isn't what it needs to be.
What's likely is Sherrone Moore, the guy who's the head coach who worked with the offensive line before, is going to get those guys to gel. I think you believe in that group more than you do the quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, sure, because he's got that ability. He's got that track record, and you bring in a Josh Preep from Northwestern.
Yeah.
He's got starting experience. Greg Crippen at center is a guy that, hey, you know, 2 years ago, he thought he was going to get a chance to play. They bring in Oluwatimi. He's an Outland Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. And then last year, they bring in Drake Nugent from Stanford. There were always guys that just stepped in front of him. Now it's his opportunity, but he is a veteran guy. He's got some experience. Giovanni Alhadi at the other guard position. Interior of that offensive line, I think, is going to be really good. The question is going to be, and most importantly, what does Chris Hinton or Miles Hinton do at the tackle position? Had some opportunity last year, didn't really solidify a starting spot. He's the one that's back, but you've got big question mark at the tackle position. And how do you protect some of those guys? How do you develop those guys? And, yeah, it is going to be Sherrone Moore. It's Grant Newsom, who's now the offensive line coach. It's on them to figure out what's that going to look like. Five guys. How do you find the best five that you can put out there, and what are they going to be?
I think if they finish fourth in the Big Ten, it's a disappointment.
If they don't win the Big Ten, it's going to be a disappointment.
Hold on. Adjusting for expectations, right? Like Ohio State, it's national title or bust for this super team. I don't think that's the expectation for Michigan.
Because of the investment that they've made in the portal and NIL, all those things. And Michigan's trying to do that. That's why we're here today.
I know. You could say everybody's goal is to win the national title, and I agree. My point is the expectations aren't the same for every team. So for Michigan, I do think fourth is below the expectation. Fourth puts you in this weird nebulous playoff bubble spot. You should get in. Third in the Big Ten gets you in. To do that, I think that it would mean Sherrone Moore got the O-line humming by the end of the season. It would mean the quarterback room wasn't an issue. I'm not saying it's going to be elite, but that would mean that they've steadied the room. To finish third in the Big Ten would likely mean 10-2, I would think. So 10-2 means you beat one of your good teams. If you don't beat any of the good teams, if you're 9-3, if you're in fourth, if you didn't develop your offensive line, if your quarterback, you're going, I wish we would hit the portal, that's a disappointment. And I think preseason four, if it plays out that way, would be a disappointment.
Yeah, and if you're 9-3 and those three games are all three of the ones that you are not favored in, and it's Texas week two, it's Oregon, and it's Ohio State, if those are the opportunities that Sherrone Moore and this team have to get a signature victory this year. And obviously everybody's going to be pointing to Ohio State. That, when they get there, Michigan will be better at that time than they are at the beginning of the season.
Right.
But you've got to hit the ground running. And if you're a 3.5-point dog against Texas and against Oregon, what are you doing in those games? Because they're both going to be home.
Yep.
To be able to manufacture
steal
a
one.
Win.
Steal one. You're underdogs. I know you don't like thinking about it. You're underdogs.
Well,
steal a win.
Yeah, but so much will be, I think we're all under agreement that, you know, I don't even know who Texas plays in week one. We play Fresno State. They're going to come in that game still favored. there's a lot that can happen for Oregon between now and then. And hopefully Michigan is still in a position where they're only 3.5 back, but they also could go into that game favored if they go into that game undefeated. Like, I mean, it's going to be a matter of now. I don't know that that's likely, but there's a lot that happens between now and when Michigan plays Oregon. There's not a lot that happens between now and when Michigan plays Texas.
We're talking ball. A couple guys talking ball. You want to jump in, 248-539-9797. We'll talk ball with Sherrone Moore at 9:35, get his thoughts on the upcoming season for the Wolverines. Coming up next, 1 week away from the trade deadline. Now what? Keep winning. Not making up ground. Now what? It's 97.1.
Hey, today's one of those days that we all live in the state of Michigan for. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's not too humid. It's just right. And maybe you're hitting the boat. Maybe you're hitting the beach. Maybe you're hitting the golf course and you wish you weighed maybe just a little bit less. There's still plenty of time this summer to make that happen. If you're looking to lose 10 pounds, 100 pounds, or anywhere in between, go to idealu.us right now. Don't wait, because you can book your free consultation and find out how you could be 15, 20, or even 30 pounds lighter in just 30 days. That website, again, is idealu.us. It's a Michigan-based weight loss company, and they've helped thousands of people just like you and me lose weight. In fact, over 90%, 9 out of 10 IdealU customers lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days. I lost 60 pounds overall, and I've been able to keep it off with IdealU. If you want to weigh less, go to IdealU.us. Sign up now, and you're going to get a $200 Visa gift card. There's still plenty of time this summer to make it happen. Lose weight and get a $200 Visa gift card. That's maybe 15, 20, or even 30 pounds in just 30 days. Go to idealu.us right now. I did it. You can as well. Go to idealu.us today.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trap. Pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A gorgeous day. Oh. I keep saying it. John, I can't believe the day we have here. It's going to be low 80s, sun's out, not too hot, nice breeze.
So many people right now, whether you're going to golf here, you're golfing around the state of Michigan, especially here in southeast Michigan, you're hitting the boat, you're hitting the beach. This is about as picture-perfect, perfect day as you're going to get.
And yet, on my drive in, I'm thinking about football season. You're like, how can you wish away a day like this? It is the duality of man, enjoying the day while also being excited for football season. Sherrone Moore joins us at 9:35, head coach at Michigan. We're out University of Michigan golf course today. John, we're also a week away from the trade deadline. The Tigers keep winning.
They're making it hard, or exciting at least.
Yeah, and listen, it's more fluid now than it was a month ago. They're 12-5 in July. They're scoring 5.5 runs a game, up a run from the season average. The bats are here. The thing that may hold them back, they got a 3-man rotation, and it's a 2-man rotation if you trade Jack Flaherty. So we get into this game of what to do with Flaherty. If they're 6 games out, they're going to trade him. But I would make the case to you, if they can get within 2 or 3, if they keep winning and they're committed to paying him, is there not an alternate path here that isn't doom and gloom? Where if you keep winning, we don't have to be bad guys. They don't have to sell, at least not extremely. They can hold on to a nucleus, which is ace-level starting pitching, add the bats they should have added a year ago, and away we go.
Well, if
is that
focus,
not a better way?
If the focus was on development this year, and what you're not going to block young bats, you want to see them develop. We've seen what Scooble can do. We've seen what Flaherty can do. We've seen Reese Olson. We know what he can do. Why does it have to even be determined at the trade deadline what you're going to do for this year? Because if you believe, you know, Scooble, Flaherty, Olson, Job, next year, Mize, you know, as a five,
sure.
Aren't you looking at if if their determination is, hey, we're not going to be able to make up the difference in the wild card, we're certainly not going to be able to make up the difference in a division, but our focus is on developing that core, that nucleus, why wouldn't Jack Flaherty be a part of that moving forward if they believe what we are seeing this year is the true Jack Flaherty?
Again, two keys. You have to be committed to extending him, and you have to be in the fight. You got only a week to make those determinations,
yeah,
because then the deadline's over and you risk losing him. Now, it's a little different than Eduardo in that you got no comp pick for Eduardo. You could still get something for Flaherty if you walk all the way to the end of the season and do lose him. But the question just should be about 2025. I'm so sick of, well, when Max Clark and Magana go, you got to play 162 next season, and I don't want to throw away another summer. So what makes them the most competitive 2025 baseball team? It's having ace-level starting pitching,
yep,
which means holding on to your aces, and it means upgrading the bats. You have a couple young guys who are promising. Colt Keith hit his 10th home run last night. That's the thing. Now, we leave the door open for this Skubal thing, because if someone shows up and says, another top pick, another, yep, top prospect, another one, another one, yep, another one, then maybe you get bullied into taking a deal you just can't refuse. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think last night was Skubal's last start in a Tiger uniform. I don't, at least as of today, expect him to be traded. I know it's been hot talk on the station, and I get why. I'm not slamming, yep, any show that's brought it up. Hell, we've done it too. I don't think it ends up happening.
Well, I mean, it boils down to this. If you get that Godfather offer, one that you just simply cannot refuse, then you move them.
Sure.
If not...
And it sets your direction, by the way.
Right. But if not, you most likely have a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah.
And you still have him next year. You have opportunity to continue to build the rotation around him. Now, does that include Flaherty or not? Who knows? We'll find out in a week's time. Does it include Reese Olson?
Yep.
I would think it does. Does it include Mize? There's some question marks, but I would think as a fourth or fifth starter, sure it does.
And I think Jobe is in the rotation next year.
Yeah. And so you're looking at it going, how do we win games in 25? And can we pair that with winning games now? You can do both. And they didn't go out. And so here's where they didn't. We talked about this, yeah, all the first half of the season. They didn't do both in regards to winning games now and develop young bats.
Yeah.
They went with, we're going to develop young bats. We're not going to block anybody. But I do think that there is a core that is starting to emerge. And if you're able to continue to foster that growth, see that growth, pair it with good pitching, then why not compete for a wild card spot? Maybe you never get closer than five or four behind the wild card, but you're competitive, you're interesting, you're fun, because the bats are starting to work.
I don't have the drop board, so I can't walleye myself, but this, yep, is why we talk about being four or five games better if they had tried to do both at,
yeah,
the same time. And now it's not a question of what do we do at the deadline. It's, oh, we're a game out right now.
Yeah.
We're very much in the thick of it. We're going to hold on to our assets, and we're going to go down the stretch run and see what happens. Let's get to the phones.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Rich in St. Clair Shores. Rich, what's up?
Hi. I wanted to think about a different direction than we're hearing a little bit.
Okay.
I was wondering, what would it take to get Guerrero Jr. here at age 25, sign him to a long-term contract? We'd have to give up one of our top prospects, but you'd have that bat we've been looking for, and he's young enough to be a core player.
You're talking Vlad in Toronto, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
because the thought is they're going to have to sell. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Same with Bo Bichette. Those are popular long-term pieces to add because you get the year of control, plus you can extend them.
Right, and my argument to that was Toronto's going to do that with a key piece and hoping to jumpstart a rebuild or do something better next year. What are they going to want? They're going to want Jackson Jobe. They're going to want prospects that they believe are the best the Tigers have.
Well,
and do you want to give that up?
The argument is I'm getting the proven bat. Vlad,
right,
Guerrero Jr. is a proven bat as opposed to a McGonagall, who I hope someday is Chase Utley. I don't know, right? I mean, but you have to be willing to pay him too,
sure,
which, again, that's the fundamental issue right now, is if you knew they had $50 million earmarked for next year,
yeah,
great. If you knew Javi wasn't going to be here and Kenna wasn't going to be here and the $50 million is going to be earmarked, hot diggity dog, there we go. But I have a hard time with it because I just don't know if the follow-through is there. If you told me on paper they're going to give up an unproven player for a proven guy and they were going to pay him, it's not my money, great, get the deal done, I don't see it as realistic.
Well, I don't see it as realistic either. I don't know that Toronto would even pick up the phone and call Detroit in regards to a prospect for Vlad Jr.
All right, we're going to get to Sherrone Moore, but first, Heather with the news.
Well, thankfully, no people or hot dogs were injured after the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was involved in a rollover crash in Illinois on Monday morning. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and a sedan were traveling north when the Wienermobile kind of lost control, struck the sedan, overcorrected, and then rolled onto its side. There was a lot of traffic. That lane was shut down for about an hour while the crash was under investigation. Everyone's okay, though, so that's good.
Well, everyone is okay.
Yeah. I'm concerned.
Was that grill marks? Did they just put some grill marks on the dog?
They did. You could see them when they saw the Wienermobile on the back of a, you know, whatever those are.
Heather.
What?
You said Wienermobile 4 to 5 times.
I did.
This guy didn't even smile or break character. I'm concerned for John.
I'm growing.
She was begging to get a laugh out of you.
I was just reporting a story.
Just reporting the news.
Exactly. What should I call it then? The mobile? Like, if I don't say the name of the car.
The Oscar Mayer.
It's
the Wienermobile.
Yeah.
The next
Giant
stop
Wiener.
In the Chicago area is set for July 27th. So hopefully, it can get all of its repairs before that stop. The last surviving original member of the beloved Motown group, the Four Tops, Abdul Duke Fakir, has passed away at the age of 88. He died on Monday of heart failure at his home in Detroit. He was surrounded by his loved ones, his wife right there by his side. He had been touring up until just last year. Good for him. A Motown founder, Berry Gordy, said in a statement that Fakir helped embody the Top's showmanship, class, and artistry. So it's kind of some sad news for sure. 10 high-priced Jeep Wagoneers worth nearly $1 million combined were stolen from the Warren stamping plant on Monday morning. And police say that all the suspects involved were kids under the age of 18 years old. Police say that these teens crashed a truck through the fence at the plant, and then they got away with these 10 grand Wagoneers. They did this all before sunrise. 4 of the Wagoneers were recovered, and the search is on for all the teens responsible. Speaking of teens, 3 teens have been injured and hospitalized while trying to car surf in Macomb County. And 3 other teen drivers are in some trouble with the law for what happened. So
is car surfing as dumb as it sounds?
It is as dumb as it sounds. It's exactly what it sounds. You surf on top of a moving vehicle. And as you can imagine, could be quite dangerous for all involved. Last month, a teen fell from the roof of a Kia. This was in New Haven. Then this month, there's a teen that fell off the back of a Ford Escape at Iroquois Middle School in Macomb. And then on Sunday, it happened at Romeo High School. There was another car surfing incident, and all these kids involved had head lacerations. One had a fractured skull and a brain bleed, and the drivers have all been charged with reckless driving. One also with an OWI as well. And police are saying, hey, you can face multiple charges, third-degree assault, reckless endangerment, vehicular assault. So, you know, you can get in a lot of trouble. So don't do it.
It sounds so crazy.
It's just stupid. It's so dumb. Finally, California Pizza Kitchen is offering everyone 50% off macaroni and cheese after a woman's TikTok went viral. And it went viral because she ordered mac and cheese and she only got the cheese. So she says she ordered pizza and mac and cheese, and the pizza showed up, and then she also just got a container filled with cheese. She says she called the restaurant, and 2 different people told her that they did not make a mistake, and that when you order macaroni and cheese, you have to specifically ask for noodles as well.
What?
Yeah, which is stupid.
Dumb.
Yeah. So after the video went viral, The restaurant issued a serious apology. They gave her not only a bunch of noodles, but they gave her free mac and cheese and free pizza for an entire year. And they say everyone else for this entire month can go get half off mac and cheese. So go to Somerset, go do some shopping. That's the only one I know of, but I'm sure.
Don't forget the mac.
Exactly. What?
I think you and I can. What is wrong with our country? What is wrong?
Yeah, you actually have to ask for the noodles.
I'd like some macaroni and cheese with noodles.
Yes.
I will never forget that. I'll always specify. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, yeah. Heather with the news. Sharon Moore next, 97.1.
Hey, we're in the middle of the summer driving season, and the combination of increased traffic, big trucks, motorcyclists, and construction all contribute to the fact that summertime in Michigan has more accidents than any other season of the year. And if you've been injured in an accident, Injury attorney David Femininio and his team are ready to help you right now. And one of the best things is not just the help he's going to give you. David will never take a fee until he wins your case. You can speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH or go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's 855-65-CRASH or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
I got to say, one of the joys of being out here, Bobby is one of our on-site producers. He's wearing a red polo, and he is getting guff from everybody, including our next guest, the head coach at the University of Michigan, Sharone Moore. We are out live at the Champions Circle Golf Classic, and we got a little note here. Sharone, you've never played 18. Today's the day?
Today's the day. I'm excited. The odds are high that I'll hit a couple straight, but probably going to hit a couple to the right, to the left on the ground, but I'm going to have some fun.
So you got clubs last week.
Yep.
You've been to the driving range.
Yep.
What was the experience like when you teed it up? How's the swing?
It's getting better. A lot of air swings because there's not a lot of time. So just a lot of, you know, time on task with the air swings. And but when I teed it up, I connected. It felt good. I can see why this game's so addicting.
Yeah, contact always matters.
No doubt.
And obviously we're talking about a different contact. I know you guys are a week away from reporting, a week away from the first day of practice. Mm-hmm. How long has this offseason felt for you? I know it's been action-packed. You're recruiting, your NIL, it's there's so much. But all the focus has been on how do you get to 1 week from today?
Yeah, I mean, for us it's just about getting better every day. And we haven't really focused on what's the next step, just – attack today, because that's all you can worry about. You can't worry about what the end goal is yet. We know what our end goal wants to be, but all we're worried about is the next day, and I think we've done a really good job of doing that.
First year as a head coach here, how do you put your own stamp on the program? Of course, some of the hallmarks from the Harbaugh era and reigning national champs, you don't want to change too much, but how do you make it your own program?
I mean, for me, it's not really about me. It's about letting the players do that and letting our play talk on the field. How we prepare, how we do everything, the process of how we execute things are going to be the same. If it's not broke, don't fix it. No, obviously we're going to have a new team. Every year is a new team, though. So I think for us, we don't think about what we've lost. We know about what we have and what we've gained, and we're really excited to attack it.
Obviously on offense, brand new offensive line. Guys that have been here, mm-hmm. Josh Preeb is obviously new. He's a transfer from Northwestern, but a lot of familiar faces for you. Quarterback, guys that, again, have been on the roster, but haven't had as much experience because of JJ the last couple of years. Same thing at receiver. Some experience, but there's going to be a lot of new bodies. How do you put together an offense and grow this offense throughout training camp to be where you want it to be?
Yeah, I think you always discover your identity through training camp. Even the past couple of years, we never really knew exactly what we're going to be until you get through practices. And that's our same approach and same mentality we're going to do. We've got playmakers all over the place. We've got really good players. And we've got guys that have been waiting their turn to take action, and they're excited.
Preseason media poll. I know you guys will have Big Ten Media Days later this week. Mm-hmm. They have you fourth. After three straight Big Ten titles, they got you fourth. There's this expected step back. What do you say to that?
Bet. That's it.
You don't see it.
We just got to go. You know, nobody's ever predicted from a media standpoint who's going to win on the field game by game. So it's our job to go execute and go win.
You are around this team more than anybody else. And now you've got a hand on both sides of the ball with Mikey Sanra still, Blake Corum, JJ, a lot of the guys that provided that leadership the last couple of years as juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. Now you've got other guys who have provided leadership in their own way at times, but they're going to be called upon. How have you seen the leadership of this team grow and develop, and who's starting to emerge as some of the leaders of this team?
Yeah, I've seen it emerge very quickly. It started, you know, really after the national championship. Everybody celebrated it, which we all should have. It was a fun time, but we went through some adversity and, you know, coaches leaving. Obviously, players departing, go to the NFL, success, that's what we want. But that's going to happen here. We want our guys to be successful. We want guys to go to the NFL as many as possible every year, and we knew that was going to be a big step for us. So guys were preparing in the shadows and preparing on the field and off the field, but guys like Donovan Edwards, Colson Lovett, Max Bredesen, done an outstanding job. Miles Hinton starting to take those steps from an offensive line perspective. In the receiver room, Tyler Morris has really been the the bell cow, the guy that you really count on in that room. And then defensively, I can go on and on. You know, the two big boys up front, Mason and Kenneth, have just been leaders. I've really seen Josiah Stewart take it from a vocal standpoint, because he's a guy that, you know, you see him, you watch him, he plays physical, but he's starting to, he has the respect, and he's earned the respect even as a junior. You know, as a junior, he took some really big steps, and excited to see what he do. But Ernest Hausman and Makari Page, probably in the back end and in the second level, have done a really good job for us too.
Talking to Michigan head coach Sharon Moore, leadership, position people look to is quarterback. A lot of questions. Who will the quarterback be of this team? Some of the rivals, other top 10 teams, said we're going to go to the portal. You guys didn't. You feel good about your room? Just give people the state of the quarterback position at Michigan.
I mean, it's in a great place. It's in a great place now. It's in a great place in the future. I think we've got enough guys in our room that are going to be able to help us win and win at a high level. Every single one of them have a different attribute and great traits, but I think together they're going to make a great group, and we're just excited for the fall camp to see what happens.
When do you have to make that decision, or can you drag that into the season if the competition's close?
Yeah, I think every year is different, so we'll see. Whether it's right before game one, maybe it's game two, we'll take our time and figure out who's the best one.
How have you been able to handle all of the different expectations that are placed on a head coach now? And, you know, when you were first here, it's tight ends, then it was O-line, then it was OC. Now it's a head coach, and it's NIL, it's transfer portal, it's keeping guys on your team, not getting into the transfer portal. It's events like this where it's Champion Circle, it's fundraising. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. How have you been able to manage all of that while still have that end goal in mind of putting together a championship football team?
I think you got to compartmentalize, and you got to do a really good job of delegating. From whether it's coordinators, whether it's, you know, big thing for me was hiring a GM, bringing back Sean McGee to help with the NIL and help with, you know, direct the recruiting and what we've done there. And he's been a big part of it. And all the different pieces that we have, our strength staff has done an unbelievable job with our kids, our nutrition staff, Abigail O'Connor, she's an absolute animal, and what she's done with our players and their bodies and what they've done. But for me, it's been being able to lean on those people in the other departments so that I can focus on the things that I need to do to make sure that the organization stays aligned.
Can you tell us about the impact of Wink Martindale? Seems like a character, brings a lot of experience. The OG of this defense is what he said. What was that like bringing him in, and what is your thought on him on staff now?
Yeah, I'm super excited to have Wink here. Obviously a guy that I've known, I've seen in action and watched and really admired how he put together the defense. And two guys that were here were under him, and the defense was built under him, so really excited to have him here, and he's done a really good job with our players, and the players love him.
Going into your first year as head coach, obviously Wink's got a wealth of experience. He's on the staff, he's in the building, but who is it that you lean on when you have questions of, hey, you know, I just want to get another perspective on whether it's a situation that comes up, it's NIL, it's recruiting. Who is it that you lean on when decisions like that come on and you just need another perspective?
I mean, I think for me, it's I have everybody, and I don't try to just lead on one person. I try to get a bunch of different perspectives, whether that's Wink, whether that's Kirk, whether that's Sean, whether it's Albert in recruiting, everybody around, and even my mentors. You know, I just talked to Coach Harbaugh yesterday, so being able to call him is a beautiful lifeline for me to have at any second. He said verbatim, you know, I just got my phone here waiting for it to ring just to make sure somebody needs me. So I told him I'll be calling him often, so they'll be ready.
We're talking to Michigan head coach Sharon Moore ahead of the season. You're mentioning a week away from getting everybody out at practice, shortly thereafter the pads.
Yep.
This time of year, I mean, you're probably chomping at the bit, right?
Yeah, I am. But you got to take it day by day. It's the August 31st is not going to come tomorrow, so do whatever you can today to get better. So that's the only thing I'm thinking about.
And today that's 18 holes of golf.
18 holes, try to get better.
Right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. Michigan head coach Sharon Moore, it's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you, understand you, and build a financial plan that is unique for your situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, They're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
They ruled it a triple E8, so not technically an inside the ballpark home run, but an electric play for the Tigers, who won. Well, technically,
yeah.
The Tigers won. They've won three of their last four. Hot going into the break, hot coming out of the break. Here's the rubber stretch here, where the rubber meets the road. This is a critical stretch. As it stands now, the Tigers don't have starters scheduled for three of their next six games. Yeah. If they trade Flaherty before his next start, it would be four of the next seven. They do not have an arm to fill those slots. It's got to be bullpen, 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 unless they do something.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because we know that, obviously, Olsen was put on IL. Mize isn't back yet. Like, there's a lot of question marks. What are they going to do? And if they do move Flaherty, it'll open up opportunity for somebody else, but I don't know what that means. Who is the great question?
Well, they don't have a bunch of Triple A guys who are
ready
pitching
to go.
Well,
yeah.
So then you go to Double A and it's Job, and you go, well, if Skeens can do it, maybe Job can do it, or it's Maeda back to the rotation.
Oh,
he gave me a look.
It.
We're not going to talk about that.
Can we talk about Walleye?
Can we talk about Bobby's polo? Bobby's a producer on site for us.
Hey, looks sharp. It's the wrong color.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I got to say, one of the joys of being out here, Bobby is one of our on-site producers. He's wearing a red polo, and he is getting guff from everybody, including our next guest, the head coach at the University of Michigan, Sharone Moore. We are out live at the Champions Circle Golf Classic, and we got a little note here. Sharone, you've never played 18. Today's the day?
Today's the day. I'm excited. The odds are high that I'll hit a couple straight, but probably going to hit a couple to the right, to the left on the ground, but I'm going to have some fun.
So you got clubs last week.
Yep.
You've been to the driving range.
Yep.
What was the experience like when you teed it up? How's the swing?
It's getting better. A lot of air swings because there's not a lot of time, so just a lot of time on task with the air swings. And but when I teed it up, I connected. It felt good. I can see why this game's so addicting.
Yeah, contact always matters.
No doubt.
And obviously we're talking about a different contact. I know you guys are a week away from reporting, a week away from the first day of practice. Mm-hmm. How long has this offseason felt for you? I know it's been action-packed. You're recruiting, your NIL, it's there's so much. But all the focus has been on how do you get to 1 week from today?
Yeah, I mean, for us it's just about getting better every day. And we haven't really focused on what's the next step, just – attack today, because that's all you can worry about. You can't worry about what the end goal is yet. We know what our end goal wants to be, but all we're worried about is the next day, and I think we've done a really good job of doing that.
First year as a head coach here, how do you put your own stamp on the program? Of course, some of the hallmarks from the Harbaugh era and reigning national champs, you don't want to change too much, but how do you make it your own program?
I mean, for me, it's not really about me. It's about letting the players do that and letting our play talk on the field. How we prepare, how we do everything, the process of how we execute things are going to be the same. If it's not broke, don't fix it. No, obviously we're going to have a new team. Every year is a new team, though. So I think for us, we don't think about what we've lost. We know about what we have and what we've gained, and we're really excited to attack it.
Obviously on offense, brand new offensive line. Guys that have been here, mm-hmm. Josh Preeb is obviously new. He's a transfer from Northwestern, but a lot of familiar faces for you. Quarterback, guys that, again, have been on the roster – but haven't had as much experience because of JJ the last couple of years. Same thing at receiver. Some experience, but there's going to be a lot of new bodies. How do you put together an offense and grow this offense throughout training camp to be where you want it to be?
Yeah, I think you always discover your identity through training camp. Even the past couple of years, we never really knew exactly what we're going to be until you get through practices. And that's our same approach and same mentality we're going to do. We've got playmakers all over the place. We've got really good players. And we've got guys that have been waiting their turn to take action, and they're excited.
Preseason media poll. I know you guys have Big Ten Media Days later this week. Mm-hmm. They have you fourth. After three straight Big Ten titles, they got you fourth. There's this expected step back. What do you say to that?
Bet. That's it.
You don't see it.
We just got to go. You know, nobody's ever predicted from a media standpoint who's going to win on the field game by game. So it's our job to go execute and go win.
You are around this team more than anybody else. And now you've got a hand on both sides of the ball with Mikey Sanra still, Blake Corum, JJ, a lot of the guys that provided that leadership the last couple of years as juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. Now you've got other guys who have provided leadership in their own way at times, but they're going to be called upon. How have you seen the leadership of this team grow and develop, and who's starting to emerge as some of the leaders of this team?
Yeah, I've seen it emerge very quickly. It started, you know, really after the national championship. Everybody celebrated it, which we all should have. It was a fun time, but we went through some adversity and, you know, coaches leaving. Obviously, players departing, go to the NFL, success, that's what we want. But that's going to happen here. We want our guys to be successful. We want guys to go to the NFL as many as possible every year, and we knew that was going to be a big step for us. So guys were preparing in the shadows and preparing on the field and off the field, but guys like Donovan Edwards, Colson Lovett, Max Bredesen, done an outstanding job. Miles Hinton starting to take those steps from an offensive line perspective. In the receiver room, Tyler Morris has really been the bell cow, the guy that you really count on in that room. And then defensively, I can go on and on. You know, the two big boys up front, Mason and Kenneth, have just been leaders. I've really seen Josiah Stewart take it from a vocal standpoint, because he's a guy that, you know, you see him, you watch him, he plays physical, but he's starting to – he has the respect, and he's earned the respect even as a junior. You know, as a junior, he took some really big steps, and excited to see what he's do. But Ernest Hausman and Makari Page, probably in the back end and in the second level, have done a really good job for us too.
Talking to Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore, leadership, position people look to is quarterback. A lot of questions. Who will the quarterback be of this team? Some of the rivals, other top 10 teams, said we're going to go to the portal. You guys didn't. You feel good about your room. Just give people the state of the quarterback position at Michigan.
I mean, it's in a great place. It's in a great place now. It's in a great place in the future. I think we've got enough guys in our room that are going to be able to help us win and win at a high level. Every single one of them have a different attribute and great traits, but I think together they're going to make a great group, and we're just excited for the fall camp to see what happens.
When do you have to make that decision, or can you drag that into the season if the competition's close?
Yeah, I think every year's different, so we'll see. Whether it's right before game one, maybe it's game two, we'll take our time and figure out who's the best one.
How have you been able to handle all of the different expectations that are placed on a head coach now? And, you know, when you were first here, it's tight ends, then it was O-line, then it was OC. Now it's the head coach, and it's NIL, it's transfer portal, it's keeping guys on your team, not getting into the transfer portal. It's events like this where it's champion circle, it's fundraising. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. How have you been able to manage all of that while still have that end goal in mind of putting together a championship football team?
I think you got to compartmentalize, and you got to do a really good job of delegating. From whether it's coordinators, whether it's, you know, big thing for me was hiring a GM, bringing back Sean McGee to help with the NIL and help with, you know, direct the recruiting and what we've done there. And he's been a big part of it. And all the different pieces that we have, our strength staff has done an unbelievable job with our kids, our nutrition staff, Abigail O'Connor, she's an absolute animal, and what she's done with our players and their bodies and what they've done. But for me, it's been being able to lean on those people in the other departments so that I can focus on the things that I need to do to make sure that the organization stays aligned.
Can you tell us about the impact of Wink Martindale? Seems like a character, brings a lot of experience. The OG of this defense is what he said. What was that like bringing him in, and what is your thought on him on staff now?
Yeah, I'm super excited to have Wink here. Obviously a guy that I've known, I've seen in action and watched and really admired how he put together the defense. And two guys that were here were under him, and the defense was built under him. So really excited to have him here, and he's done a really good job with our players, and the players love him.
going into your first year as head coach? Obviously, Wink's got a wealth of experience. He's on the staff. He's in the building. But who is it that you lean on when you have questions of, hey, you know, I just want to get another perspective on whether it's a situation that comes up, it's NIL, it's recruiting. Who is it that you lean on when decisions like that come on and you just need another perspective?
I mean, I think for me, it's I have everybody, and I don't try to just lean on one person. I try to get a bunch of different perspectives, whether that's Wink, whether that's Kirk, whether that's Sean, whether it's Albert in recruiting, everybody around, and even my mentors. You know, I just talked to Coach Harbaugh yesterday, so being able to call him is a beautiful lifeline for me to have at any second. He said verbatim, you know, I just got my phone here waiting for it to ring just to make sure somebody needs me. So I told him I'll be calling him often, so they'll be ready.
We're talking to Michigan head coach Sharon Moore ahead of the season. You're mentioning a week away from getting everybody out at practice, shortly thereafter the pads.
Yep.
This time of year, I mean, you're probably chomping at the bit, right?
Yeah, I am. But you got to take it day by day. It's the August 31st is not going to come tomorrow. So do whatever you can today to get better. So that's the only thing I'm thinking about.
And today that's 18 holes of golf.
18 holes, try to get better.
That's right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. Michigan head coach Sharon Moore. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you, understand you, and build a financial plan that is unique for your situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
They ruled it a triple E8, so not technically an inside-the-ballpark home run, but an electric play for the Tigers, who won. Well, technically.
Yeah.
The Tigers won. They've won three of their last four. Hot going into the break, hot coming out of the break. Here's the rubber stretch here, where the rubber meets the road. This is a critical stretch. As it stands now, the Tigers don't have starters scheduled for three of their next six games. Yeah. If they trade Flaherty before his next start, it would be four of the next seven. They do not have an arm to fill those slots. It's got to be bullpen, 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 unless they do something.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because we know that, obviously, Olsen was put on IL. Mize isn't back yet. Like, there's a lot of question marks. What are they going to do? And if they do move Flaherty, it'll open up opportunity for somebody else, but I don't know what that means. Who is the great question?
Well, they don't have a bunch of Triple A guys who are
ready
pitching
to go.
Well,
yeah.
So then you go to Double A and it's Job, and you go, well, if Skeens can do it, maybe Job can do it, or it's Maeda back to the rotation. He gave me a look. We're not going to talk about that. Can we talk about Bobby's polo? Bobby's a producer on site for us.
Hey, looks sharp. It's the wrong color. I mean, we're here at the University of Michigan golf course. We just had Sharon Moore. We had Kurt Campbell. We have all of the football players that are here, and they look over, and they see a man draped, dripping in red.
Bright red. Bobby, you going to defend yourself at all? He is wearing, to be fair, this is station apparel. It says 97.1 the ticket on
it.
Yeah,
but we have station apparel, too. We have we've got a nice little, you know, long sleeve quarter zip.
That also has red in it.
Yeah, but it's not bright.
No, it doesn't.
No, but the polo.
The polo does, yeah. But I guess you got red on the sleeve. But it's not
the
main color. We have black polos that you could wear. And, yes, 97.1 the ticket is in red. But it is not the feature color.
I totally understand. But, look. Shouldn't it remind the team of success, right? They're undefeated against red teams now.
Yeah, you can go with that.
They're winning.
It just enrages them.
There was a moment where I asked, this is off air, I go, because I don't know if Bobby's a Michigan fan. Are you a Michigan fan? And Sharon Moore sitting right there.
Yeah.
And
it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yep. Whole, born and raised, whole life. Yep. Yes, sir. But I love how everybody, even whether they're coaches or guests, just anybody at the outing has come over and given him a hard time about it.
That's a lot of red.
I can't get over, by the way. I don't want to gloss over. Sharon playing golf.
For the first time.
Like he said, he's gone to the driving range, but 18 holes for the first time.
He's gone to the driving range in the last week.
Just to ramp up for
prior
this.
Prior to a week, 10 days ago, when he got his first set of clubs, he says he's never golfed. And so this will be the first time he is taking a week's worth of swings to the course.
Now, what's the setup here? It's a scramble. He's not going to be using his shots and digging stuff out of the rough or what?
No. He's going to be there for entertainment, Q&A, sign some autographs, take some pictures. And
maybe one nice shot off the tee. Yeah.
Hopefully he can let's not even get that far. Let's not get carried away.
What?
Maybe a chip or two that just, randomly ends up on the green, a putt that gets close to the hole. That is the goal for Sharon today. It's just, I may not be able to tee it up. I may not be able to be good with my irons, but I can putt.
Well, there's a role for that guy in every group at these outings, right? You just need one person to dig you out of any bad spots you get into. You need the personality higher in the group that keeps everybody lively, making sure everybody's having a good time. You need someone who can dig you out of a bad spot. You need someone for fun. And then everybody else is just there to have a good time.
Well, and he talked about it. He likes to delegate. All right, we need a representative from the coaching staff for this golf outing. You're going to send Kurt Campbell.
I was going to say.
We already know. I mean, he's handicapped it himself. He said he's already walking around like he's won this sucker. And so, it's you send him.
And he walked around with a smile when you said that.
He's not going to be the one that he wants to go out there and spend 4 hours walking around a golf course. He's got better things to do. Develop an offensive line.
There you go.
Find out who your quarterback's going to be.
Sharon said it could drag into the season. Your thoughts on that? He didn't say they want it to, but it could.
Sure, it could. And again, I think it's a three-guy race. It's Jack Tuttle, it's Alex Orji, it's Davis Warren. Those are going to be the guys that I look and say, okay, who is it that's going to be starting against Fresno State? Whoever that is, as long as they get through that game unscathed and there's no dramatic, falter. That's going to be the starter for Texas.
And unless they do the split stuff. Unless it's like quarter on, quarter off, half on, half up.
I would be shocked. You're going to have a starter. And then if that game, if you take care of business, that game gets out of hand, then you're going to have number two, maybe number three get some reps. But you're going into that game with a clear idea of this is the guy that we want operating this offense. We're going to give him the reps. We're going to give him the opportunity. And that's the guy we're going to Texas with.
Yeah, my expectation is they will name a starter well before the first game because of one word, identity. It's come up a couple times today. Identity. What is the identity of this offense? I got Donovan Edwards. I got Colston Loveland. What is the identity of this team? The quarterback is going to dictate some of it. If it's Alex Orji, there's more QB power. There's more QB run. It's a very different offense than if you have a drop back pass or more of a Tuttle, let's say, right? I mean, these are different styles of quarterbacks. And it's one thing to say, well, they're all similar and we're going to see who wins. You have to pick an identity and start to hone that identity. And they've said as soon as practice starts, we're starting to figure that out.
And Davis Warren provides some of that as well. Alex Orji is your best athlete in terms of running with the ball. Davis Warren can do it as well. And Jack Tuttle can. It's just not what he does best. So it'll be interesting to see because, obviously Jack Tuttle, he got his seventh year. He's been around college football a long time. He's been around some really good quarterbacks, and Michael Penix is the backup at Indiana, the backup obviously to JJ. This is the second year third year of being a part of this system. So there's great opportunity for him.
So if you had to call it right now, Mr. No Inside Information, who is it?
I got to believe, we saw in the spring game Alex Orji get more time with a number one offensive line, with the receivers. We saw him get a lot of that opportunity. I got to believe going into the season, he's penciled in.
It's
as
his
number
job
one.
To lose.
I would think so. And as long as he stays healthy, because at the end of the spring game, and everybody glosses over this one, he does provide that opportunity to add more on the ground. But as he's running into the end zone for his final touchdown, he kind of pulled up with a little bit of a look like a hamstring. So that's always going to be a part of it. When you put your quarterback out there, hopefully he can stay healthy by himself. You don't want to have any muscle pulls or things like that. But he's going to make himself vulnerable to hits.
If we have Doug and Gator. I want to get Doug's opinion on something we talked about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So you brought up, you were at sports tournament.
Yeah.
With the kids over the weekend, and you overheard parents.
Well, this is something I've overheard for a couple of years, whether it's baseball, softball, basketball. You get to that final day of the tournament. Generally, it's on a Sunday. Yesterday for us, it was a Monday, that they are quietly hoping that their son or daughter's team loses so that they can get home early.
They're not rooting for their child to fail. They just want to get home early, and the team losing is the way to do it.
I just can't understand that concept of, well, first of all, we're going to make this investment, go play in this tournament, and now you're hoping that they lose so you can leave early?
I think it's human nature. You go to hundreds of these things.
It might be your human nature.
If you're competing for a championship, you're rooting.
See, you question why people paint you in this light. You do it yourself.
I want to know from Doug,
it's human nature. No, it's not human nature. Human nature is you play a game, you play it to win.
When you play to win. When it's your kid, you might want to hit the road and get back home at the end of a long tournament. Now, if it's a championship game, it's different than, hey, we're in the consolation of the consolation of the consolation fighting for seventh place at this giant tournament. Then you went as far as to say your kids can read your body language if you don't want them to win,
it
and you can hurt
kids.
Their kids' performance. I wanted to know from Doug, with all the tournaments he's been to, does he feel at any point that his body language has hurt his kids' performance on the field?
Without a question.
They ruled it a triple E8, so not technically an inside-the-ballpark home run, but an electric play for the Tigers, who won. Well, technically.
Yeah.
The Tigers won. They've won three of their last four. Hot going into the break, hot coming out of the break. Here's the rubber stretch here, where the rubber meets the road. This is a critical stretch. As it stands now, the Tigers don't have starters scheduled for three of their next six games. Yeah. If they trade Flaherty before his next start, it would be four of the next seven. They do not have an arm to fill those slots. It's got to be bullpen, 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 unless they do something.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because we know that, obviously, Olsen was put on IL. Mize isn't back yet. Like, there's a lot of question marks. What are they going to do? And if they do move Flaherty, it'll open up opportunity for somebody else, but I don't know what that means. Who is the great question?
Well, they don't have a bunch of Triple A guys who are
ready
pitching
to go.
Well, yeah. So then you go to Double A and it's Job, and you go, well, if Skeens can do it, maybe Job can do it, or it's Maeda back to the rotation. He gave me a look. We're not going to talk about that. Can we talk about Bobby's polo? Bobby's a producer on site for us.
Hey, looks sharp. It's the wrong color. I mean, we're here at the University of Michigan golf course. We just had Jerome Moore. We had Kurt Campbell. We have all of the football players that are here, and they look over, and they see a man draped, dripping in red.
Bright red. Bobby, you going to defend yourself at all? He is wearing, to be fair, this is station apparel. It says 97 won the ticket on it.
Yeah, but we have station apparel too. We have we've got a nice little, you know, long sleeve quarter zip.
That also has red in it.
Yeah, but it's not bright.
No, it doesn't.
No, but the polo.
The polo does. Yeah, but I guess you got red on the sleeve, but it's not.
Look,
the main color. We have black polos that you could wear, and yes, 97 won the ticket is in red, but it is not the feature color.
I totally understand, but look. Shouldn't it remind the team of success, right? They're undefeated against red teams now.
Yeah, you can go with that.
They're winning.
Enrages them.
There was a moment where I asked, this is off air, I go, because I don't know if Bobby's a Michigan fan. Are you a Michigan fan? And Sherrone Moore sitting right there.
Yeah.
And
it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yep. Born and raised, whole life. Yep. Yes, sir. But I love how everybody, even whether they're coaches or guests, just anybody at the outing has come over and given him a hard time about it.
That's a lot of red.
I can't get over, by the way. I don't want to gloss over. Sherrone playing golf.
For the first time.
Like he said, he's gone to the driving range, but 18 holes for the first time.
He's gone to the driving range in the last week.
Just to ramp up for
prior
this.
Prior to a week, 10 days ago, when he got his first set of clubs, he says he's never golfed. And so this will be the first time he is taking a week's worth of swings to the course.
Now, what's the setup here? It's a scramble. He's not going to be using his shots and digging stuff out of the rough or what?
No, no. He's going to be there for entertainment, Q&A, sign some autographs, take some pictures. And
maybe one nice shot off the tee. Yeah.
Hopefully he can let's not even get that far. Let's not get carried away.
What?
Maybe a chip or two that just, hey, randomly ends up on the green, a putt that gets close to the hole. That is the goal for Sharon today. It's just, hey, I may not be able to tee it up. I may not be able to be good with my irons, but I can putt.
Well, there's a role for that guy in every group at these outings, right? You just need one person to dig you out of any bad spots you get into. You need the personality higher in the group that keeps everybody lively, making sure everybody's having a good time. You need someone who can dig you out of a bad spot. You need someone for fun. And then everybody else is just there to have a good time.
Well, and he talked about it. He likes to delegate. All right, hey, we need a representative from the coaching staff for this golf outing. You're going to send Kurt Campbell.
I was going to say.
We already know. I mean, he's handicapped it himself. He said he's already walking around like he's won this sucker. And so, yeah, it's you send him.
And he walked around with a smile when you said that.
He's not going to be the one that he wants to go out there and spend 4 hours walking around a golf course. He's got better things to do. Develop an offensive line.
There you go.
Find out who your quarterback's going to be.
Sharon said it could drag into the season. Your thoughts on that? He didn't say they want it to, but it could.
Sure, it could. And again, I think it's a three-guy race. It's Jack Tuttle, it's Alex Orji, it's Davis Warren. Those are going to be the guys that I look and say, okay, who is it that's going to be starting against Fresno State? Whoever that is, as long as they get through that game unscathed and there's no dramatic, you know, falter, that's going to be the starter for Texas.
Unless they do the split stuff. Unless it's like quarter on, quarter off, half on, half up.
I would be shocked. You're going to have a starter, and then if that game, hey, if you take care of business, that game gets out of hand, then you're going to have number two, maybe number three get some reps. But you're going into that game with a clear idea of this is the guy that we want operating this offense. We're going to give him the reps. We're going to give him the opportunity. And that's the guy we're going to Texas with.
Yeah, my expectation is they will name a starter well before the first game because of one word, identity. It's come up a couple times today. Identity. What is the identity of this offense? I got Donovan Edwards. I got Colston Loveland. What is the identity of this team? The quarterback is going to dictate some of it. If it's Alex Orji, there's more QB power. There's more QB run. It's a very different offense than if you have a drop back pass or more of a Tuttle, let's say, right? I mean, these are different styles of quarterbacks. And it's one thing to say, well, they're all similar and we're going to see who wins. You have to pick an identity and start to hone that identity. And they've said as soon as practice starts, we're starting to figure that out.
And Davis Warren provides some of that as well. Alex Orji is your best athlete in terms of running with the ball. Davis Warren can do it as well. And Jack Tuttle can. It's just not what he does best. So it'll be interesting to see because, you know, obviously Jack Tuttle, he got his seventh year. He's been around college football a long time. He's been around some really good quarterbacks, and Michael Penix is the backup at Indiana, the backup obviously to JJ. This is the second year third year of being a part of this system. So there's great opportunity for him.
So if you had to call it right now, Mr. No Inside Information, who is it?
I got to believe, I mean, we saw in the spring game Alex Orji get more time with a number one offensive line, with the receivers. We saw him get a lot of that opportunity. I got to believe going into the season, he's penciled in
it's
as
his
number
job
one.
To lose.
I would think so. And as long as he stays healthy, because at the end of the spring game, and everybody glosses over this one, he does provide that opportunity to add more on the ground. But as he's running into the end zone for his final touchdown, he kind of pulled up with a little bit of a look like a hamstring. So that's always going to be a part of it. When you put your quarterback out there, hopefully he can stay healthy by himself. You don't want to have any muscle pulls or things like that. But he's going to, you know, he's going to make himself vulnerable to hits.
If we have Doug and Gator, I want to get Doug's opinion on something we talked about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So you brought up you were at sports tournament
with
the kids over the weekend. And you overheard parents.
Well, this is something I've overheard for a couple of years, whether it's baseball, softball, basketball. You get to that final day of the tournament. Generally, it's on a Sunday. Yesterday for us, it was a Monday. That they are quietly hoping that their son or daughter's team loses so that they can get home early.
They're not rooting for their child to fail. They just want to get home early, and the team losing is the way to do it.
I just can't understand that concept of, well, first of all, we're going to make this investment, go play in this tournament, and now you're hoping that they lose so you can leave early?
I think it's human nature. You go to hundreds of these things.
It might be your human nature.
If you're competing for a championship, you're rooting.
See, you question why people paint you in this light. You do it yourself.
I want to know from Doug,
it's human nature. No, it's not human nature. Human nature is you play a game, you play it to win.
When you play to win. When it's your kid, you might want to hit the road and get back home at the end of a long tournament. Now, if it's a championship game, it's different than, hey, we're in the consolation of the consolation of the consolation fighting for seventh place at this giant tournament. Then you went as far as to say your kids can read your body language if you don't want them to win,
it
and you can hurt
kids.
Their kids' performance. I wanted to know from Doug, with all the tournaments he's been to, does he feel at any point that his body language has hurt his kids' performance on the field?
Without a question.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.